Moncrief on News Talk.
After an intense session of focus grouping, we have with us Barbara and Declan to answer all your problems. Right. Okay, here's your first question. Right, I have a group of friends and we've known each other since our first year in college. We're in our last year now. I'm happy in the group in general and they're really nice girls. I'm also a girl. I'm bi, and a few of my closer friends in the group know this. It's not something I bring up often or really talk about in front of everyone in the group. They're also all straight, as far as I know, so I don't know if they'd really understand. A few weeks ago, I was alone with one of my friends who knows I'm bi, as I've told her about dates I've been on with girls. For some reason, she brought up the topic of queerness and how she feels it's a controversial topic. While talking about it, she also said she doesn't understand why people who are queer have to go around announcing it to everyone that they are queer. Shut up, Declan! And that she doesn't go around broadcasting she's straight. She also said that she doesn't understand why pride should be celebrated in the workplace, like law and accountancy firms doing things for Pride Month, etc. I was really surprised, and I just said that homophobia is still really prevalent and then changed the subject. I haven't brought it up since. I don't know if she's just unaware of how she's coming across. She isn't the type who would deliberately try to hurt someone. However, I think I'm realising that we have different worldviews and it's making me question how she views me. This is quite recent. We've been fine apart from this. It bothers me, and I don't know if I should bring it up to her that it bothered me or if I'm overreacting to be thinking about pulling away from the friendship.
The first thing that struck me, well, the first thing to say about this letter is that it's clear, I think, that the person who wrote the letter has been hurt by this friend who expressed her views, which is a shame. And it's a shame, it's more of a shame because I have a feeling, and Declan, I'd be interested to hear what you think here, I might be completely wrong, but just from what she tells us, I wonder, was the friend who offended her, the one who said she doesn't know why, you know, people have to come out as gay or whatever and all the rest of it, was she just expressing something that actually was quite a fair point, but just doing it in an awkward way? Like, in an ideal world, gay people shouldn't have to. Nobody should have to say, I am this or I am that or I am the other, or be labelled one way or the other. And you know, in an ideal world, that's, I think, what most of us would think would be a fairer way. And perhaps that was what she was getting at. I think the reason I think that perhaps she was just awkwardly and kind of clumsily expressing something that actually wasn't as offensive as the person who wrote to us thinks it is the fact that she went on to express the view about pride, and she doesn't see why big companies and big corporates have to do events for pride. I feel very similar about International Women's Day, do you know, which I wish we didn't need an International Women's Day and I wish we didn't need a Pride Month, that it was just all grand. And every year International Women's Day comes along, and again, I get annoyed by exactly the same thing. All these big corporates putting on these big, you know, snazzy, shiny events where they gather thousands of, God forgive me, middle-class, middle-aged women talking about whatever, and nothing changes. Do you know what I mean? It's meaningless. And I kind of get the point she's making about pride as well. So, in conclusion, what I'm wondering is...
Wow, okay. I will put my shovel down now.
I put a lot of thought into this, right? So I think that perhaps the person, the friend, didn't mean to upset the letter writer, didn't mean to hurt her feelings. I think she expressed thoughts or ideas that could be quite logical and could be quite aspirational, but she did so in an awkward way. Now, I'm interested to hear what you think, Declan.
Look, I kind of understand what you're saying, but I reject it wholeheartedly.
God, I thought I was really...
Look... I would love my house to be spotless, Barbara, but it, you know, that doesn't mean it's just going to be spotless. I still need a roster to mean that somebody's going to do half the housework and I'll do the other half.
You're a roster?
No, I don't. But we often talk about this on this show, but, you know, if you want to make sure everybody plays their part and takes up their own space, you know, you need to stand up for yourself and you need to express who you are. This friend basically turned to the other person and said, I don't think that you should express who you are in my presence. That's what it boils down to. Because fundamentally, if you're telling somebody that they're not allowed to discuss their identity in some way because it's all a bit of a you know, it's all a bit controversial. What you're saying is ignorant, because what you're basically saying is, I don't know enough about you to know what it takes to walk through life in your shoes. If queer people are going to not announce, and I'm using square finger quotes here, to the world that they're queer, how do they go about being queer? What do they do? You know, we meet in like secret dark rooms and meet other like-minded people, or do we just go around and go, oh, by the way, I'm gay, who wants to get off with me? Because basically that's what it boils down to. It boils down to you either have to be public or you have to be hidden. You either have to be proud and out, or you have to be shameful and hidden away. That's as simple as it is. It boils down to that basic fact. And if by being in the world, if taking up space, whether it's being a woman, a man, a gay man, being like somebody from a different ethnicity or whatever, if you're not able to take up space being who you are, you're basically ceding space to somebody else who thinks that they're worth having more space than you are. And I find it really, what this letter doesn't go into is the emotional labour that minorities and queer people have to do on a daily basis in order just to like to be just the right amount in the world, to be there enough that they're feeling comfortable and proud, but also not too much that we don't piss off the right wingers who tell us to get back in your box and you're taking up too much space with your woke nonsense. And you're like, well, actually, no, I'm not woke. I'm just here. And you determining what language to describe me with is just your version of language, like my language of queer or whatever it is just a terminology. I think for this poor girl here, her friends are now making her question whether she's safe, whether she's able to express her identity in socials. And if you can't see that, it's because you don't know what it's like to be on an ongoing basis, what it's like to be a gay person in the real world. It isn't some aspirational thing. It's actually who you are on a daily basis. And it's like,
but I absolutely thank you for that. And I absolutely do agree with everything you said. But my point is, do you think that that is what her friend was saying to her?
Or I think that her friend said something like ignorant. It wasn't clumsy. It was ignorant. Like, it's ignorant. Ignorant.
Yeah. She doesn't go around broadcasting that she's straight.
Yeah.
Is that kind of echo. I haven't said all that. Her question is, should she break off this relationship or should she?
How do you deal with ignorant people? As you educate them.
Yeah.
And you don't stop talking. You're she's entitled to be furious. She's entitled to say, would you ever shut up, Sandra, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 blah. And if the listener has a problem to what she's saying, well, then she's worked out what she's worth to that person. Because, you know, it doesn't behove anybody to present to other people a version that's palatable for them. You're not going to be comfortable in the life if you're afraid to take up the space that you want to. If you're worried about framing, you know, your own identity in terms of somebody else's kind of tastes, that's not freedom. That's not, you know, that's not a real kind of existence. That's fear. And that's not, you know, and that's what pride is for. Pride is for enabling people to say, in certain circumstances, we are together and we are accepted. And if that's a tiny little gay community that I grew up in Dublin that was in a darkened room, or whether it's an international, accepted thing. And it's not just stupid parades through the streets to say we're here and we're queer and we're not going anywhere. It's actually also going into organizations where people take up desks and make money for those organizations and contribute. And it's actually a business statistic that diverse workplaces thrive more than ones that aren't. And so all of that thing is an ideological thing that goes the whole way through. And to hear, like, to see it happening in the States where they're trying to, like, squeeze out those voices, what they're doing is they're squeezing out all the voices. And if you let them go for one tiny, when they started off with the trans people, they're going, you know, into race stuff, and they're going into, you know, the queers and all this kind of, then it's going to be women, and then
it is women already.
That already, because it's all connected, and it's a worldview that needs to be snipped out when the ignorance is voiced in
can
your
I
friend.
Can I ask you one other question then, in relation to what I said? Was I, like, is it crazy to think that aspirationally we we could or should or may at some stage in the very future have a world where nobody has to declare their sexuality? Or are you saying because gay people are in the minority, they have to declare
your sexuality in order to be a sexual person in the world? That's
I mean, you can hit on somebody like...
Yeah, fair enough. But that's a long way off. I mean, that's not we're nowhere near that.
No, I know we're not. But is it something that we should be aspiring to, or do you think that's crazy?
Well, of course it is. Okay, but it's also a world where race, it's, you know, you're singing John Lennon at me now because at the end of the day, you know, imagine all the world, imagine there's this nine, you know, in the real world that we live in, we're dealing with real people like our letter writer who's sitting down with somebody who's supposed to be one of their closest friends, who's saying something to them which is inherently emotionally destabilizing and homophobic.
Would you give any space or credence to the possibility that the friend didn't mean to be offensive?
You know, when people say
she was trying to be,
you know, when people say there's no pro, I don't think she was being woke. I think she's being the opposite. She's repeating far-right talking points.
But I don't think my point is, I'm not sure that she actually was. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've thought about this, obviously, you know, for all of your life, and somebody like this friend hasn't. So maybe she was trying to be all. No, you don't.
Broadcast.
A lot of. There's a text in front of me here already, but I'm not going to read it out. But the argument, the kind of right wing argument, is we're hearing too much about this stuff now. White men? But it's distracting about the core message as opposed to what that message is about. The complaint is always there's just a bit too much of it.
Now, unfortunately, one would swear from the way that these people say that international corporations have spent 365 days a year just going queer, 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 queer. You know, that's not what's actually happening. It's one day a year when they manage to have maybe somebody there is Maura from the post room, and she's going to tell you about her experiences being like a gay woman living in Ireland. Grow up if that's a problem for you, because it's ridiculous, because Maura actually lives in this country and she's part of your society, and whether you want to stifle and shut up her voice, that's a you problem. That's, you know, you're creating that issue because she's still here and I'm still here. You know, the only way to get rid of me is to get rid of me, and that's kind of where they're talking towards. And it's frightening because to me, I go, like, I've lived through a version of this country where I was, you know, a young gay man growing up in Ireland in the 1990s when it was technically illegal to be me. And we've kind of had this man wave of change where, you know, for one, you know, windy summer we had a gay Taoiseach, and now now we're going to move it all the way back because it bothered some straight guy in Mullingar, and you're kind of going, no, that's just stupid, because the reality of it is that you're not going to stop queer people from existing.
No.
You can help us to exist in our society.
We're not trying to take anything. Existence.
It's the same old argument, pretending that people are trying to take something away.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not taking anything
You're
away.
Adding to the
I'm story. Still going
to
be here. I could have not said what my sexual orientation is, and I'd still be here, you know, living, breathing the same Irish air as everybody else.
I'm exhausted.
Try being gay.
You should have friend groups that think differently. This is a new thing where friend groups should all be the same. Young people these days are so stuck in echo chambers. 80s, 90s, zeros kids had more diversity in their friend groups. You'd have a sports person, a musician, a gay person, a hippie, male, female, a rich friend, a broke friend, etc. Arguing with your friends and having different points of view is okay.
Oh, yes, I understand the point and I accept it. But personally, I think that, you know, somebody's existence is not up for discussion.
A point of view.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Someone else says, this is wholeheartedly agree with everything Declan is saying. I can hear the emotion in his voice.
Oh, no.
Says Shane.
Your emotions there, Declan.
And now I'll just read out one. This is a milder one. It's not homophobic to say she's had enough. Many gays have had enough, too.
Many gays have had enough of what?
I don't know. Being publicly recognised and giving any sort of credence whatsoever that they want to go back into the corporate. According to this person, please send in your evidence for that. I'd be dying to hear it. And not, I've one friend who's gay, I think, and he said something.
And nobody who's gay, you know, has the right to speak on behalf of...
Yeah.
This is the whole point, and this is kind of gets towards what Barbara was actually, the point that you're making, is that the only reason we have identities is because we're not all exactly the same.
Yes.
And we have to find some way of describing what makes me different to you. And, you know, along that, you know, the spectrum between being identical and to being completely individual, where all of our individualism is irrelevant to other people, we have these various stages along the way where we coagulate into groups based on shared, you know, features, whether that's nationality or whether that's gender or whether that's sexual orientation or whether that's, you know, what football team you follow or whether that's the place you work or whatever it is. And in all those situations, you're still not speaking necessarily as one big monolith group of people who have exactly the same views. There are loads of gay people who will go, oh, we don't agree with this politics, or we... Loads of gay... During the marriage equality referendum, there were loads of voices saying, I'm going to put my hands, you know, over my mouth right now, but I think marriage is a disgraceful institution, and I don't think it serves anybody. And, you know, but we're not gonna say that right now because politically we're moving towards this idea that the equality should be enshrined in our constitution first, and then we can talk about what's a useful or not institution for a state to have. Blah 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 blah.
Please stop calling these views right wing or right wing talking points. This is just calling people names, which is what we don't want to know, says the text. I think they are right-wing talking points, pretty much. As a gay woman myself, anyone who doesn't accept me, my family or me, family or friends regardless, will not be part of my life.
Because why would you? Says. Why would you accept somebody who gives you a look saying, oh, I'm not sure you should exist?
Yeah.
You know,
the,
like you're...
The fact that the person who wrote into us now was faced with the task of having to explain herself to the woman who expressed this view kind of demonstrates the point, really.
And it also reveals the kind of the quicksand on which people who are LGBTQ have to stand on in society, that we're kind of... we almost checked ourselves first before we criticise somebody else's right-wing talking points. And from that point of view, you go, no, I'm personally done with doing that. And I hope that this letter writer here realises that she doesn't need to justify her existence to anybody.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to something dramatically different. I've been going out with my new boyfriend for about 6 months now. He is absolutely sound and our sex life has been great until now. He's a historian with a particular interest in Napoleon. The problem is this. He often tells me the story of how Napoleon wrote a famous letter to his wife Josephine, telling her he would be home from his campaign in Russia in a fortnight. Apparently, he ended the letter with the immortal words, "Don't wash, Josephine." Now my boyfriend wants to reenact this and has asked me not to wash for a week so he can experience what it was like. I really like this guy and want to satisfy his needs, but I think I will really struggle to go a whole week without showering. How do I manage his expectations?
It's a product called dry shampoo you can buy. look, apart from obviously the kind of this specific fetishy thing that's going on here with this thing, this still falls into the category of, if you're not into it, you don't have to do it. Don't feel you have to do it. If you can find a way to do it for somebody that you like because you want to please them, then find a way to do that. Maybe the actual answer here is to just say you didn't wash, because, you know, at the end of the day, how is he going to know, really, you know?
I'd say you would know if somebody didn't wash for a week. You definitely would.
Well, obviously he wants to know. That's his whole thing.
He's an actual historian. When the minute I said that, I realised that's kind of daft.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe a couple of days.
Jeannie Mac. Oh, no. No, I mean, like, I agree with you, and we've said it before. You know, if it's not something that's floating your boat, well, then you don't have to do it. And just because, I mean, I'm fascinated by the boyfriend who wants to feel like Napoleon. But like, that's neither here nor there, and she's not Josephine, and so, you know, I would explain to him in words of one syllable and short little sentences that much as you think he's great and much as you think his interest in Napoleon is great, you have no interest in not washing for a week, or even possibly in my experience most women would say even within 24 hours, I will be having a shower or a bath or doing whatever, so it's not happening, end of story, full stop, new paragraph. The only thing you could do, if, as Declan said, if you find a way to kind of meet him halfway, would be, you know, go to the gym or go for a run or something like that, and then come back and get down to it before you
Or maybe she could just like she could do that. Like
do
she
that goes and to
the, if she exercises, she could keep those clothes and not wash them, and then you know she can say, "Have a sniff of that, boyo," and then
have a sniff of that,
yeah, or whatever, whatever their love language.
However you say that in French,
yeah. And maybe that might be enough for him, you know. Or he might, because he, you know, she might do it, and then he ends up gagging because you know the stink is too much for him. It mightn't be as you know as pleasant as he imagines.
I also kind of feel that there's
also back in, sorry to interrupt you, but back in Napoleon's day, they didn't probably wash every day anyway.
Oh no, absolutely,
so
yeah.
Wasn't a big
they didn't have teeth
of Josephine.
Yeah.
Come on, like, you know. So you know, I think that there might be a kind of an interpretation gap here between he wants the vibe of something, whereas she's hearing the very specifics of the thing. Now maybe he's kind of talking about, you know, Napoleon and Josephine and their kind of big love, and he's trying to be romantic in some weird way, but it's not coming over.
Maybe. Next step would be he'll want her to dress up like Josephine and wear, you know, those wigs they wore that all had mice living in them and everything.
Oh, God,
like,
they were mank.
No. Yeah. I would close this off. Like,
as soon as possible.
This is only going one way and it's not going to be nice.
Our daughter is making her communion next month. We're planning to have a party at home afterwards. I want to make a bit of a fuss over her and feel she deserves a special day. All of my family live nearby, so they'll be helping me to get organised and having everything set up. We are also inviting some of the neighbours and a few close family friends. So we're down to a few hundred there.
Yeah.
The problem is, I'm wondering, can I get away with not inviting my in-laws? My partner's parents are very elderly, very awkward. They expect everyone to cater to them and just sit there waiting to be served. I feel like I have to bite my tongue for years, but I'm so fed up of them doing nothing for us. So I was wondering if I can just tell them we're doing something small so that maybe they'll only come to the church part. I know it sounds harsh, but they really drain the mood and they're so ungrateful. How do I politely not invite them to the party?
Wow. The bang of Christianity off this is very strong, isn't it? Wow. Like, you know, I'm taking it that these people, this couple, take their religion very seriously, which is fine. And their daughter's making the communion and they want to have a big party to celebrate whatever it is that's meant to happen at communion. So I think with that background, they should ask themselves, in order to answer their own question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do?
Yes.
Yep. And Jesus would definitely invite the elderly parents. And
oh, would he?
Make sure that they were comfortable and he would make sure that they were having a good time.
Yeah.
I think these two need to go to confession.
Yeah.
I think.
And they're also very elderly.
They're very elderly. What do they want them to do? They shouldn't be doing anything.
I mean, that's the bit that I kind of, you know. These are very elderly people and they're sitting down. The cheek of them.
The cheek of them. My God, my mother used to come to any family event we had and she was like the queen. She would sit in the chair and people came to her. She didn't mingle. People came to her and she was handed all her stuff. And that's what older people are meant to do. But I just think that's a horrible letter. It's a horrible idea that she could not invite them to the party and just tell them to come along to the church.
Yeah.
That's awful. They need to get
I think, I mean, like you pointed out, what I was going to say is that it's the irony of it. The cultural Catholic thing where you just want the party, but you don't want the actual message.
They come to the least important part, the bit of the church.
That doesn't matter.
Before they wreck the bus. Yeah.
They can sit down there and not cause any hassle at all.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, why, very elderly, what do they mean? Like, maybe in their 50s?
Stop.
You see, it's Christians ramming their opinions down everyone's throats. All this woke Christianity. Barbara Decker, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.